nice to see everybody. I can't say it's a large crowd, but there are more than usual. And it's right that we gather for this beautiful feast, the presentation of the Lord. The presentation has many, many dimensions to it. And the more we ponder it, the more we will get out of it. That's why it's included in the Rosary as one of the mysteries of the Rosary, because it's something that can keep feeding, or maybe we should say, it can keep enlightening our inner life as we welcome Jesus, the light of the world, into the temple of our own hearts. One of my first thoughts when I started to reflect on this feast was I went back to Brother Boy, who just passed away a couple of weeks ago. He had a great devotion to this feast because it's the fiesta of his hometown in Kabarbaran in northern Mindanao, Busan del Norte. And I went to Kabarbaran many times when I was visiting Butuan. And if I went with Boy, he would always take me to his parish church and explain to me about the devotion. Because the church is under the patronage of Virgen de la Candelaria. And the Virgen de la Candelaria, the feast day of the Virgen is today. So you can imagine this, just to put in your mind, since we didn't have a procession ourselves because of the pandemic safety protocols, just imagine a parish in the province that is dedicated to Our Lady of the Candles, Nuestra Señora de la Candelaria. And think of an old Spanish church, because that's what's there. Big, old Spanish-style church. Right on the main plaza, there's, you know, in so many old towns, it's like this. There's the church, and then in front of the church, there's the town square. It's kind of like a park. And on the other side of the park, there's some kind of government building. I think it's some city offices. And then also on the square, there's an Aglipayan church. And I think it's also Our Lady of Candelaria. I'm not sure. I can't remember, but it's not as big as the Catholic church. But anyway, this is like the center of the old town. It's a big old church. And on February 2nd, there is joyful celebration. Parades, processions, dances, music, foods, costumes, and everything. Decorations of the houses, decoration of the streets. And everybody gets together. You know how it is at a fiesta. Now, we could say everyone gets there to honor Our Lady or to honor the Lord. Yes, but in fact, a lot of people have lots of different reasons for getting together. The mayor is there because he has to be where the people are so that he will be elected. And the young girls are there because they want to dress up and attract the eye of the boys that they like. And the boys are there because they want to impress the girls that they like. And the old ladies are there because they're always there. And you know, it's a big communal event with many levels to it. And this is part of the richness of devotion. I'm deliberately giving you this description so you get in your mind how it's supposed to be. And not just religiously, but socially, culturally, emotionally, we should gather together. For 2 years, we have not been able to really gather in a normal way, but we shouldn't forget that this is what we are made for. When we are drawn to the Lord, we are also drawn together as the family of God, as the people of God, journeying together, carrying the light of Christ together, into the house of the Father. That's a good description of what human life is all about. And when you get people together, of course you're going to get many different motives and different elements. In fact, even in a big fiesta like that, there's a lot of criminal elements too. You know, there's drug dealers and prostitutes, and there's vendors, and there's beggars, and there's everybody. Well, that's because that's who we are. That's the human family. And we are being drawn together by the Lord. Now, on this feast in particular, there's this special practice of the candles. Not every fiesta has a candle presentation, but this one does. So everyone holds a candle, and carrying the candle through the streets is representing or joining in this welcoming of the light of Christ, the light of God in the world, and declaring without saying anything that I myself am a bearer of light. So all of you, just a few minutes ago, you were holding a candle. Now, we didn't go anywhere, so kind of ruins the symbolism, or not ruins it, but it weakens it. But I'm holding a light, and even if I don't say anything, if anyone sees me, they see not only me, but the light that is shining in my hand. Now, this is the richness of the church's tradition. This is small T tradition. You know, capital T tradition is the faith, what's handed on from the apostles. But small T, human traditions, if they're not disordered, also bear a lot of richness. And that's what fiestas and candle processions and foods and costumes and music, this is what enriches us. And that's right. So I started with Brother Boyd because he would always tell me about the Candelaria, the Fiesta of Candelaria in Kababara. I think in Silang there's something similar. Isn't the church in Silang? Isn't this their fiesta? Anyway, and that's a big old Spanish church. And in those old parishes, you see the traditions are still alive. In our area where all the churches are relatively new, you can't say there's any ancient traditions because no one has been here that long. But if you go to those old Spanish towns and old Spanish churches, even the walls of the churches seem to tell you something about the faith. Okay, now that's just a starting point to get us thinking about the presentation. And it might seem like it has nothing to do with what the actual event of Mary and Joseph bringing the child Jesus to the temple, because there's no mention of candles here. There's no mention of a procession. This is a development in the pondering of the church, in the heart of the church and of those who believe, what this is like to have Mary and Joseph carrying this child into the temple. What looks like a very ordinary event just to fulfill the law is in fact an extraordinary event, because it's the light of God entering into his house. Jesus comes to the temple for the first time, and he's the light of the world. Maybe no one knew that until Simeon came along and said, hey, this is the light. This is the light of the world. This is the light of revelation to the Gentiles and to the Jews, meaning to everybody. Here he is. Okay, so starting with this devotional idea, and also to remind us, since we can't have even a little procession like we would normally have, we're kind of limited by all the safety protocols, we can still enter into the spirit of this feast and welcome the parts of the tradition that we can observe. See, a skeptic might say, well, what, you know, you're sitting there, you light a candle, you stand there with the candle for a while, then you blow it out. Oh, that's nothing. Or a skeptic might say, even if you were out there in the garage and you lit your candle and then you walked into the chapel and then you blew it out, well, great, what did you accomplish? That misses the whole point. That kind of mindset is what leaves us isolated and limited and basically in the darkness. Yes, the candle itself perhaps doesn't mean that much, but if you look past the superficial simplicity of it, it's a very rich symbol. So, and it's very meaningful to do this together. This is a way of expressing who we really are. We're not just isolated individuals on our Zoom meetings and protecting ourselves. We are the people of God. We have been entrusted with a light, and we're supposed to carry that light into the world together. Okay, so that's one approach to this feast, and I think it's important to call it to mind. A second way of entering into this feast is to reflect on the experience of the Holy Family themselves. I'm holding up here this little icon of St. Joseph. It's actually not just of St. Joseph, but of Joseph embracing Mary and Mary embracing the child Jesus. So you could almost consider this image an image that is an image of the Feast of the Presentation, because who's in the middle of it all? Jesus, and he's glowing with light. So here's Mary holding Jesus, and her whole heart is radiating with the light that comes from Christ. It's from this kind of insight that the idea of carrying a candle is associated with this feast. The gospel doesn't say anything about candles, but it does say that Jesus is the light, and it does say that the parents brought the child to the temple. So by extension, they say, well, that's like carrying a candle. So here's Mary and Joseph. They didn't know that they would meet Simeon and Anna in the temple. They didn't know that there was going to be a pronouncement about Jesus being the light of revelation to the Gentiles. What did they know? They knew what was the Jewish, the requirements of the law. And because Joseph is a just man, he does what he's supposed to do. So without grand ideas or expectation about something being revealed, they did what they were supposed to do. They did their duty, you could say. And this is an important thing to reflect on too, because very often the plan of God unfolds if we just do what we're supposed to. Just fulfill the requirements of the moment. Take care of our families and loved ones, look out for the poor, keep our hearts open to God, and go and do our job for the day. That's where God is. That's where his light is revealed. Now, we don't see it most of the time, but we won't see it if we're not doing what we should be doing. So the simplicity with which Joseph and Mary simply did what a Jewish family did in those days, when they had a firstborn child, they brought the child to be presented and offered the required sacrifice. In their case, they offered a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons, which was the sacrifice that poor people offer. Rich people offer a lamb. They're not rich. Of course, they have a lamb. It's Jesus himself. They don't have to present a lamb, but they, to fulfill the law, they bring two little birds. And it's in the context of them doing their ordinary duties that this beautiful encounter takes place. So that's what I'm taking from this image of the Holy Family in this icon. Lastly, we can reflect on this feast, or this event, through the eyes of Simeon and Anna. Simeon, in fact, is the most prominent figure in this gospel reading. There's almost no mention of Jesus. There's very little mention of Joseph. A little bit more about Mary, because Simeon talks to her, and a little bit about Anna, but most of it's about Simeon. Now, Simeon, he's an old man. He's living with expectation of seeing the Messiah, because that's what the Lord told him. Every day, every month, every year, he's living with this expectation of seeing the Messiah. Does he know it's going to be today? No. But he knows he should go to the temple. It says the Holy Spirit, he was full of the Holy Spirit, and the Spirit led him to the temple. He doesn't know why. He just is obedient. He's a man of faith. He's a man of hope. And he does what you do when you're inspired. You just do what the best you can. And then when he gets there and he sees this little child of this poor couple, the Holy Spirit enlightens him, and he becomes the agent to enlighten us. Oh, look at who this is. He has this beautiful canticle. Now I can go in peace. Now your promise, Lord, has been fulfilled, because now my eyes have seen your salvation. Imagine what anybody who was standing around thought when they heard this old man saying, I can see your salvation, Lord. They probably look around and say, where is it? Where is it? Where's the salvation of the Lord? This little baby, 40 days old? What does a 40-day-old baby do? I'm no expert on babies, but and they sleep, and they cry, and they laugh, they eat, and they suck. I think they can focus by 40 days. They probably recognize somehow the mother's voice. I don't know if they can. Some of the babies, they grab onto things. I don't know if a 40-day-old baby can do that. But we're talking about a very, very limited newborn. And Simeon says, I see the salvation of the Lord. I see a light for revelation to the Gentiles. I see something that I have been awaiting my whole life. I see something that the whole human family has been awaiting since the beginning, and here he is. The child's father and mother were amazed at what was said about him, because what Simeon says is really amazing. That's why we ponder this every day. In fact, this little canticle of Simeon is part of the daily prayer of the church in the night prayer. At the end of the day, if you pray night prayer, at the end of the day, we say this, now you can let me go to sleep in peace. Now at the end of the day, I can sleep in peace because the Lord has been faithful to his promises. The Lord has revealed himself, not in big dramatic ways, but in the ordinary circumstances of life. It is in these little candles that the Lord has let his light shine upon us. And every day when we go to bed, we can say, well, thank you, Lord. Thank you for revealing yourself. Thank you for allowing me to do what you wanted me to do today. And if I haven't, I'm sorry. Forgive me. And I can go to sleep in peace because your light is shining in the world. Okay, so Simeon and Anna. Anna has this same spirit of sensitivity to the Holy Spirit. Does she know that the light of the world is going to arrive? No, but she's there all the time. It says she's day and night in the temple, meaning she's always in the presence of God. So when God reveals himself, she's ready to receive him. Simeon and Anna are, and Joseph and Mary are the examples for us. Jesus is not very, he doesn't seem to be shining very brightly at this stage. He's just a little baby. And in our ordinary days, God is not making huge miraculous appearances. He's disguised in very ordinary circumstances, ordinary people, ordinary candles, ordinary life. And that's where God is. So what we celebrate today is the entry of God into the temple of his world, the temple of creation, and the temple of our hearts. And we welcome that light. We join in the procession, joyfully acclaiming the presence of the light of the world.